at least partly in the scripture that Brother Rick spoke from on Sunday night. Let's turn then to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We have that wonderful progression in verses 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3, a lamb. And this is the world's view of our Lord. He was a lamb led to the slaughter. But they did not differentiate between him and any other man. Verse 4, the Lamb, and this is God's view, the Lamb foreordained, the Lamb, the only Lamb, the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, your Lamb, this is our view. He gave himself for me, Paul said in Galatians, and this is our view of the Lord. But I'd like to speak tonight particularly about the Passover itself, because I feel that we can profit greatly from an understanding of how the Jews did celebrate Passover and the knowledge that our breaking of bread service stands in relation to the Passover service in the way that the New Testament stands in relation to the Old. It is both a continuation and an upgrading. In the intertestamental period, the period between the time of Malachi and the New Testament, the 400 silent years, there arose a group of very religious people in Israel, the Pharisees. And these men believed that the oral traditions that had been passed down from generation to generation that surrounded the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, had been given to Moses by God. And so they came to believe that these oral traditions had the same force as the written word. And after a while, they began to write these down. And they were known as the Mishnah, the commentaries. The Mishnah was the oral law itself. The Gemara was the commentaries upon those oral laws. And together they formed the Talmud, which is the Jewish manual, if you like, of religious belief and practice. And the Mishnah and Gemara were codified into the Talmud about between 100 and 210 A.D. So that when we look at the Mishnah, when we look at the Talmud, we get a very accurate picture of what the Pharisees believed, what they practiced during the time that our Lord was here on earth. By the time that the Lord came here, a lot of custom had grown up around the practice of the Passover. We see in the Mishnah a definite order of service that had grown up. Now, when we read in Exodus, the actual statement is that simply that you shall kill the Passover lamb and eat it with unleavened bread and with herbs and one or two other simple commandments. But there is no ritual attached. But gradually, mankind loves ritual. You know, the breaking of bread service has had ritual accretions added to it by various and sundry through the years. And this happened with the Passover as well. By the time the Jews had come to the time when it was time for the Messiah to come, there had grown up a ritual, a standard order of service surrounding the Passover. There were six items used in the Passover supper, or seder, as it is called. Firstly, wine, of which there were, incidentally, four cups, not just one. That fact is important, and we'll get back to it later. The roast lamb itself, the paschal lamb. Bitter herbs, where they usually used, apparently, lettuce, which they considered a bitter herb. Unleavened bread, and then the two sops. There were two sops. There were two dips, two things to dip, and two dips. The two things to dip were the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread. And the two things into which they were dipped were either salt water or vinegar, was one dip, and then charoset, which apparently was a mixture of honey, nuts, cinnamon, raisins, dates. It was a very sweet mixture. Those were the requirements for their order of service. And they did follow a definite ritual. And I'm going to try and go through the ritual because I feel that as we go through that and look at what the scripture has to say, it will increase both our knowledge of the Passover and the breaking of bread service with our Lord himself. The first thing in the ritual was the kiddush, or the prayer over the first cup. This cup was called the cup of sanctification because it set the meal apart from all other meals. This was said over the first cup, and the cup was drunk. By the way, all the cups were watered down. They were half and half warm water and wine, which is interesting in itself. We'll get back to that later as well. Then we have the first hand washing. There were two hand washings in the service, and this is the first, right after the drinking of the first cup. It was the first hand washing. Then was brought in a portable table with the food, the roast lamb, the bitter herbs, everything on the portable table. And then was the first dipping, where herbs were dipped in the salt water or the vinegar. Right after this, the food was removed. They did not eat of it right away. They removed the food. The second cup was poured out. This cup was called the cup of praise. And it was not drunk. And this was intended to raise the curiosity of the children. And at this time, the youngest member of the family would ask the traditional questions. And they had a set order of questions. They were to ask, why is this night different? Why do we eat this meal this way? Why on other nights we can eat unleavened bread or leavened bread? Why on this night only unleavened bread? On all other nights we may eat bitter and sweet herbs. On this night we can only eat bitter herbs. Why is that? On all other nights we may eat food. We may eat lamb boiled or roast or any other way. But tonight we can only eat it roasted. Why is that? And then the father would explain, as the food was returned, why this was. The roast lamb spoke of the Passover itself, the fact that the Holy One caused them to offer this sacrifice that their children might be spared. The unleavened bread spoke of the fact that they were redeemed out of Egypt. The bitter herbs spoke of the fact that they were in slavery and bondage long years in Egypt. And this was explained. Then they would sing the first Hallel. Hallel in Hebrew means praise. And the first Hallel was consisted of Psalms 113 and 114. The second Hallel consisted of Psalms 115 through 118. And it's to the credit of the Jews that even at a very young age, boys and girls would memorize Psalms 113 through 118 because they had to sing it every year at Passover. After the singing of the first Hallel, then they would drink the second cup, the cup of praise. And at this time, they would have the second hand washing, which was done in respect of the meal which was about to come. Then the blessings would be said over the unleavened bread, and the bread was broken. And this was to signify the fact that many people are so poor that they only have crumbs of bread to eat. This bread was dipped in the salt water and the charoseth, the honey and nut mixture, and handed out. Now this is not the dip of which the Lord, this is not the bread of which the Lord said, this is my body. This is a different one. Then, after that, they would eat the lamb. After the eating of the lamb, the third cup, which was called the cup of blessing or the cup of redemption, would be poured. It wouldn't be drunk yet. There would be a blessing said, an after-meal blessing. Then you would have the blessing of the cup and the drinking of the third cup. And this is very important. After the eating of the lamb, there was to be no more solid food eaten at all. The Passover lamb, in the order of service, was to be the last thing that was eaten. Nothing solid was allowed to be eaten after the eating of the Passover lamb. After the drinking of the third cup, they would sing the second Hallel, which is Psalm 115 to 118, pour and drink the fourth cup, which is called the cup of acceptance or Elijah's cup. Then they would sing the closing hymn. Now that's a pretty long service, and it normally takes up about 2 hours, sometimes three in an Orthodox household. The Orthodox Jews of today are the direct descendants in practice of the Pharisees. They follow this ritual closely, although they have added some things to this ritual. The way they practice it now is somewhat different from the way the Lord practiced it and the Jews of his day practiced it, but it is essentially the same. And as we go through the accounts in the Gospels and 1 Corinthians, we're going to take a look now at how that Last Supper really took place. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Now, a lot of people have been confused in this passage of Luke because it seems to be that there are two cups. And the main reason for that is there were. Now, the gospel accounts only speak of two of the cups of the Jewish Passover Seder, the first and the third. And these were generally accepted by the Jews to be the most important. The first because it set aside the whole meal. The third because it actually spoke of the blood of the Paschal Lamb itself. And that's why down in verse 20 it speaks of that cup. But here in verse 17 is the first cup. He took the cup and gave thanks. And here he was saying Kiddush. It was the cup, the first cup, the cup of sanctification, which was said, over which was said the blessing, which set the whole meal apart. Now by doing this, Jesus showed himself to be the host. That is to say, he was the most important personage there. The person of importance did this. No one else. In the household, for instance, we read in Exodus that if there were two households, you know, poor households, one next to another, then they could join together and do it. It would be the person that would be most closely related to the priesthood that would say this. So in doing it, our Lord Jesus showed himself to be the host. Then we have the first hand washing. Let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now here, at the time of the first hand washing, was the first strange thing that our Lord Jesus did. This was not part of the ritual. Instead of the washing of the hands, he got up and washed the disciples' feet, including Judas, by the way. And this shows the incredible humility of our Lord. It also shows him as the servant, the ministering servant. After that, the food was brought in. You had the first dipping. Food was removed. The second cup of praise poured out, not drunk. The questions were asked, which would have been asked by the youngest member present, or probably either John Mark or the Apostle John. Whoever was youngest would have asked those questions. The food was returned, and the explanation of the foods given, the singing of the first Hallel, Psalms 113-114, and the drinking of the second cup. Now, by answering the questions, by answering the ritual questions, our Lord Jesus also showed himself to be Father, because traditionally it was the Father's place to do this. He also showed himself to be priest. On this night and on this night only all Jewish men were allowed to wear the priestly mitre, because they were acting as a priest. They were representing God to man. On all of other times, the Jewish men would wear the little round skull cap, the yarmulke, that sits, you know, you see Orthodox Jews with the little skull cap. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but they normally wear just that. But on this night, and on this night only, they were allowed to wear the mitre of a priest, the hat, the tall hat that a priest only would normally wear. So in doing this, our Lord shows himself both to be Father and priest. After that, there came the second hand washing, the blessings over bread, the bread broken, bread dipped in salt water, and charoseth and handed out. Let's read now in John again, John 13 and verse 26. Well, let's start at verse 24. Well, back up to 21. We'll get the whole context. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. This was the apostle John himself. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that ye have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He, that is Judas, then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Here is the betrayal. Now, as I say, this is not the bread of which the Lord said, "This, take, eat, this is my body." This is still the standard ritual, standard Seder order that he's following. Now, it was interesting that he should say, He to whom I give the sop. Because all who were at the table partook of this sop. It was divided among all of them. And this may explain why John didn't act or do anything when the Lord Jesus gave Judas Iscariot the first sop. Because he gave them all sops. And in one way or another, they all betrayed him. They all forsook him and fled. Not one remained to stand with him. And we see here the incredible grace of our Lord, because it was to the favored son that the father normally gave the first sop. And yet here he gives the first sop to Judas Iscariot. What incredible grace. And he went immediately out, and it was night. After this, they had the eating of the lamb. Then the third cup, the cup of blessing or redemption, was poured, and the after meal blessing was said. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I really felt led to speak on this subject. It was interesting that Brother Alex should use these scriptures in the morning on Sunday, and Rick should speak from Exodus chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, here is something absolutely different. Our Lord Jesus takes the bread after having given thanks for the meal. Now, after having eaten the Passover lamb, there was to be no more solid food taken. And our Lord breaks into the ritual here and establishes the breaking of bread service. This is the second new thing that he did in the service. Remember, there was to be no dessert. The bread broken here is something absolutely new. What he was doing was anticipating the time when there would be no more Paschal lamb, and so instituting a new feast in which bread would be the reminder. The Passover lamb was the reminder for the Jews. For us, it's bread. And he was here anticipating that. Now, in the present day Jewish service, they do have an eating of bread after the eating of the meal. And they call this the afterkomen, or the after dinner bread, whatever. And it is because they have no more temple and offer no more sacrifices that they were forced into using this. After the temple was destroyed by Titus, they were forced into doing this because there was no Passover lamb slain from that time till now. And the Lord was giving them in a picture form the fact that he was the true Passover lamb. The Passover lamb for the Jews spoke of a physical redemption from Egypt. This bread of which he spoke, which he called his own body, speaks of a spiritual redemption from sin. We know that Egypt is a type in the Bible of the world, the sinful world. And so we see that the Passover lamb itself was only just a picture, as we know, of our Lord who would come and become the true Passover lamb. Remember, we said that we would come back to the third cup, and this was the third cup, the cup of blessing, or as it was sometimes called, the cup of redemption, which is interesting in itself. This is the cup of which he said, verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And this definitely places the cup which he used, because the cup after supper was the third cup, the cup of blessing, the cup of redemption. The cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Back in chapter 10 and verse 16, Paul says, The cup of blessing which we bless, and he's speaking there of the third cup, cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And we are here speaking of our Lord Jesus as sacrifice. After this, they sang the second Hallel, Psalms 115-18, poured and drank the fourth cup, the cup of acceptance, or the cup of Elijah. And as Matthew 26 and verse 30 says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out. And there is what happened at the Last Supper. We have to take all the gospel accounts and Paul's account in 1 Corinthians to piece it together along with the knowledge of how the Jews actually celebrated it at that time. But we have here several beautiful pictures of our Lord. Firstly, at that Passover feast and at every breaking of bread that we come to, He is the host. He is the one that is really the chief celebrant. He is the one that has invited us. I saw once a picture that really moved me. It was a poster. Just one loaf of bread, a piece of bread, a slice of bread, and a cup of wine. And the caption over it was, "Jesus of Nazareth invites you to a supper to be held in His honor." And that's what happens every breaking of bread service. He invites us to it. He is the host. He is also our servant, as He showed when He washed the feet of the disciples. And when we hold our breaking of bread services, there are times at which the marvelous grace and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only then, but even now to us, takes hold of us. We spend sometimes, I feel, too much time on the picture of our Lord as sacrifice, which He is. And we are to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord at the breaking of bread service. But we are also to remember who He is, what He is, the servant who rules and the ruler who serves. He shows Himself also to be our Father. And we come to Him, and we can say now to God, Abba, the affectionate Aramaic term for daddy, not the formal father. Abba means daddy, the way a little child would say daddy. That's what Abba means. And we can approach Him now in that fashion. We don't have to do it secondhand by a priest. We can approach Him in the breaking of bread service as near as any high priest ever approached Him in the tabernacle. And He is our priest, interceding for us. There are times in the breaking of bread service when we do not know how to express ourselves, when the feeling wells up. And we know that the Bible says the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And our Lord Jesus intercedes for us. He speaks to the Father on our behalf. And He makes acceptable to the Father the breathings of our mouth. And then we have the picture of our Lord Jesus as sacrifice. The Passover Lamb. The Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. A Lamb, truly He is a Lamb. A Lamb led to the slaughter. He is the Lamb, the Passover Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. He is our Lamb. Jesus loved me and gave Himself for me, the apostle said. And we all can say that. as we come to the breaking of bread service, we have an enormous privilege. Our Lord Jesus is our host. This happens every week, not once a year, as the Jewish Passover. The Lord Jesus is our host. He ministers to us. He is our Father, our High Priest, and our sacrifice. And we have the inestimable privilege every Lord's Day of doing that which the Jews had to wait a whole year for. Do we take it for granted? Do we really take it for granted? We have a better sacrifice than a roast lamb. We know that the roasting of the lamb brings to mind the burnt sacrifice, which was all for God. It was to be consumed utterly, as our Lord was. Let us, therefore, as we come next Sunday to the breaking of bread service, remember where our roots are. The roots of Christianity are Jewish. The roots of the breaking of bread service are found in the Passover service. Our Lord, after the flesh, was a Jew. And we have been grafted in and given privileges that would have been unthinkable to a first century Jew. We who were at one time afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Let's give thanks for him. Shall we pray? Father, how we give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he means to us. We thank thee that he invites us to meet with him and sup with him each and every Lord's Day. We thank thee that he ministers to us, that he is merciful to us as a father. We thank thee that he is our high priest, that he stands before thee even now, making our prayers and even our worship acceptable unto thee. We thank thee for his sacrifice. We thank thee that we have been made one with him, that we are seated even now in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Let us not be unmindful of this, we pray, Father. Help us not to be ungrateful. Help us not to take for granted the awesome privilege that we have of meeting with thee and supping with thee each and every Lord's Day. Bring him to mind, to us we pray, his excellencies, all his qualities. Prepare us in heart for Sunday. We ask and pray this in his worthy and precious name. Amen.